Hey, this is Luke. Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast. Powered by Bazodi Magazine. We'll be interviewing local creators who were in and around the clock for the Popover season and beyond. Join us on this journey as we go behind the scenes of what makes Popover, Popover. Welcome to episode 11 of the Lure It Up podcast, powered by Bazodi Magazine, produced and recorded by Robbie at Nameless. On tonight's episode, we'll be having Joyanne from WMBY, Rico and Anduele from Vibe Nation, and Tion Hernandez. We hope you enjoy. Bazodi. Today we are here with Joyanne from WMBY. And we're just here to discuss the festival as a whole. We're here to discuss entertainment, especially, and looking at the entertainment scene in Barbados as a whole and fets in Barbados as a whole, because Joyanne has been in the game for quite some time. How many years you've been in entertainment,
Joyanne? Oh, dear, I'm going to have to give up my age. It's been a while, probably like 16, 17 years.
So you've seen things change and evolve in the entertainment sphere. In the fetting sphere.
It has grown. It has evolved from where it was before.
And where do you think it should go? That would be my first question to you.
Well, right now, I think that events need to move out and go international because we've been stuck in a bubble. There's not a lot more leg room that we can do here. And then because of all the inland challenges and all the red tape, you got to go through. Sometimes you don't get that. You don't have that hurdle when you go overseas. And it's time for us to take our products to another level.
I agree with you 100%. I would have said this before too on the podcast that events need to evolve and start looking for markets outside of Barbados.
They do. The country needs to miss us a bit.
Yeah, really and truly.
So we need to go so people could really appreciate the value that we bring to the table, because when the local promoters are doing events, that is what really helps boost the economy. People come to the country, the tourists, people go online buying tickets. There's not much that is being offered here unless us, the promoters, put events out there.
That's very, very true. So, as you said, they form an integral part of the Barbadian entertainment scene, far less the festivals. Like, if they don't have them, people don't come.
And we do add with bringing foreign exchange into this country.
That's very true.
And because then you have all the overseas contingents coming in to jump, party, go to the regular fests.
That is exactly it. All foreign part of the orange economy is like, there's an economic driver because you're bringing in foreign exchange.
Exactly. For example, there's a big event on the 17th, and I'm sure that people flying in and booking tickets and Barbados is getting boost. We're a dot on the map. Nobody, some people don't even know where Barbados
is. It's true.
I know everybody's hearing about Barbados. Barbados was big when Rihanna made her name. But now that you have all of these different entities coming together and bringing these things to the island, we're flying.
Yeah, exactly. We saw, you know, as you said, we got big events coming up on the 17th, and a lot of people now paying attention, a lot of people now seeing Barbados in a different light, putting us on the map.
And I think for the whole of July really is a full flood of activities. The promoters really going above and beyond with the artists that they're bringing to the table. I mean, I don't even know how we get it though, but it's from one event to the next event to the next event to the next event.
That's right.
And that's what we want. We want to know that. We want to become like Trinidad Carnival. The stars and the who's going Trinidad. We need to get them
that's
inland.
That's really what it is we need with Barbados, you know, to really, well, I would say reach back that level. Because, you know, you will have that for Kaduma, but you won't. You want it for sure for people to be coming in constantly throughout the season. I even have people asking me to this morning, saying, should they come down for Popover? I want to book a flight. I'm looking at events saying, oh, I feel events can be sell out. I was like, tell me your dates and tell you what events to go to and tell you when to book from.
We can go start a little chaperone business because a lot of people want to come here and experience the culture. And we have to do more to get people on the island and let the interest repeat. All the artists, the performers, everybody has to play their part, because it's not just about going on stage and singing a song.
That's right.
You need to get your information out there. You need to post. You need to email. You need to get your stuff playing. Send things to international DJs. Send the music far and above, because even if our local people don't embrace your music, send it and let it get played somewhere else so you are more recognized.
Well, that's exactly it. That's it. It's like you need to move beyond these shores. Like with Stabby the Guard, I remember when Stabby His song somehow ended up in Go Stabby. Trini used to love that song. Mm. It used to play on the radio that year. That was 2015, 2016. Mm. Them didn't understand one thing he the same.
Yeah.
But then they love that song. You couldn't get enough of that song.
Even when Stiffy did, I can't make sheep in town.
Yeah, oh my God. You that understand? Was huge.
But if people don't, you really gotta believe in your craft. And sometimes like our local DJs, people would say, like, were you flying in this person to play a few fat and you got local DJs? But you have to do something to grow your craft.
Yeah.
I don't want to come to an event and know where your playlist is gonna be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta push your craft so that I can see, okay, this is cool. Trevi DJs get international bookings. Right. No, I hardly see our own DJs.
Exactly. I and use the same thing. Like, I wanted to touch on that, you know. I wanted to get into that. But, you know, as you touch DJs, they start to get mad and then they get ripped on Twitter. That's fine.
My back broad.
My back very broad.
We got broad backs.
Very many licks. So yeah. Nobody can shift me. But
sometimes people don't like to hear the hard truth.
That's true.
And that's why some of us stuck in the place that we are stuck in, because we don't, and I can speak from experience, before when I first started event logistics and gate control and stuff, I started with Russell Grant doing Frazzle mm-hmm. events and Reminisce mm-hmm. and stuff. And it was a learning curve. I was not where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with a 6-man team. We run about doing this in this corner. We ain't got no cash deals. We ain't got no whatever. But we had enough skill set to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to evolve yourself. So now hardly anybody could kind of tell me how to get control exactly. or event logistics. And I think that we do a superb job. We got a strong team. And we are like glue because we respect each other. We live like family. So our bond as a group is unbreakable. I could call at any hour and say, all right, look, I need you to go to this job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you need to build. When you build a rapport and you grow and you grow and you grow, you can excel. I don't know what it has for the future, because at the end of the day, that's another thing. Our events are very seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everybody trying to catch work
in
July.
Yeah.
Everybody events are on the same
everybody
days.
Everybody cramming into days, July. Everything. Trying to
but
catch
then what
that
happens
in
September,
exchange.
October, November, December?
November,
the country
December.
Still needs to thrive.
Exactly. It's like you could spread it out of the calendar. You do one event a couple of, you could do another one later on in the year. It's like,
but I think what it is too is because that with the tourism market, mm-hmm. you're not sure if you're going to get that traffic coming in. Everybody try to cram everything in that sardine can for that one period. And then you have to decide who event I'm going to support.
And
so you're working on a budget.
Can be at this event and you, let's say both events is the 16th. The tourists can't go to both at the same time.
So this is where we say again, where we need to evolve. Promoters got to start thinking outside the box and stretch. We are not known as a one-trick pony where everything happening in July.
Everything happening at Crop Over
and
then
it's done.
We need
to stretch and pull things all about through the year. So Barbados is now known in the entertainment industry as this is the go-to place
this
for a good event.
This is it. Like, you got Food and Rum. Let's say that's going to be October. Mm-hmm. Then you got November.
I need
you got
a pass for that. I've never been to that.
Don't worry. We didn't talk to the BTM. I'm sorry, you all.
Okay.
But yeah, you got like basically independence in November now, which is people starting to call the second crop over because you're going to hold. People coming in, especially a lot of people in the diaspora, mm-hmm. and people starting to throw a lot of events. You got December there again.
Mm-hmm.
You got January. You got Feb. You see around that February, March period,
mm-hmm.
people who can't go down to Carnival, who mm-hmm. still want that Carnival feel and they're hearing mm-hmm. the music and all that. That's a period that you could throw events. You got all that, that's Oysters Fish Festival coming up.
Right.
You got all these time
and
periods
of time. And then open up Spike Strong and these kind of places that people don't know nothing about and
that's
pull the
right.
traffic in different directions. One of the other things that really impacts us from doing events too, there are too much protocols that you have to go through mm-hmm. just to pull off mm-hmm. one event, and it's a deterrent
it's
to
seriously.
A lot of people, because where you could go to another country and you don't have to go to, you shouldn't have to go to 5 different entities
to
do
get
one
something
event.
Pull off.
To pull off something.
I think they're streamlining it now with the online process, but I agree with you completely. People tell me, come let me do an event. And they're like, you know how much things I got to go through? I got to go through cost cap. I got to go bra. I got to go this
VAT.
Body for some. I got to go VAT. I got to go liquor license.
And then you're going to go through the weight loss process because it's too much.
It's too much and it's bare stress. And I has a whole set of money I got to lick out and I take it inside.
Barbados is a little backwards where entertainment is concerned because when you touch at mm-hmm. Trinidad and I've traveled to Grenada and Miami and different places executing events, and it's a... The only headache is actually setting up the infrastructure and thing for the events. You don't have this headache and this red tape because those people embrace events, embrace the activity, embrace, and the culture. Yep. And they want the people coming to the country. So you want exactly us to bring it. People to the country. But here it is, you being a stickler for all of these other things that you want us to go through.
And limitations to facilitating people coming in the country and enjoying themselves. It's like, it's something we said before on here. It's like the orange economy. All this stuff is within the orange economy. But if you don't take it seriously, you can't get 9-0 to it.
Let me touch on the skeleton in the closet. Mm-hmm. It's too much double standards.
Yes,
because when entities that put in our events, they don't go through this right here.
No, they don't.
And
no,
then what it is that only certain events, or let me call them the bougie events, are being targeted. Mm-hmm. But here it is, a mommy, a whole effect in the ghetto. He ain't going through no right here.
He ain't going through no right here.
He ain't stamping the tickets.
No,
he ain't doing
no,
this.
Like a license.
I calling a spade.
Like,
why are you targeting a direct group when we are the ones that trying to hold the economy together?
That's
now
it.
If all of us get together and they say, you know what, to France with this,
exactly,
we holding off for the events, we're coming into this country,
exactly, the people can kind of crop over and got any events crop over.
I am not gonna knock my government events and the events that they're trying hard to put on, but let me be real, let me be real, nobody is paying a ticket and traveling to come here to go to the museum to watch art.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
Some of the children not even being taught poetry in school, so they're not going to
poetry reading at all.
Because the school system's not offering it. So if we really get real and touch on these things, to have people embrace and come to these things, one of the only things that I see people gravitating to is pamp and sand. But is that enough to hold the economy together?
Exactly. No, it's not. It's not at all. And
it's
as
not.
You say, you've got fantastic pamp players, but are people really going to say, I'm coming down specifically for
and
that?
And then if you're going to do pan, grow pan.
Yeah.
Encourage your competitions.
Yeah.
Flying Grenada, Trinidad, got pan competitions against Barbados and all that. I build up the momentum to probably get more children involved in pan playing and steep pan playing.
In a lot
but
of those arts, yep.
Everybody's thought process may not be the same.
It's true. And there are many, many, many ways that not just the festival itself, but entertainment can evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And ways that it could grow and that people could benefit, and not just it being just one big fat and every fat, but there's art and culture within it that people just missing out on.
And one of the reasons too is that people need to learn to pass the baton. It's like a relay.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to win the race, you got to pass that baton to the next player.
Mm-hmm.
We are going forward. It can't be the same players in the game all the time, because the way of thinking may not change.
Mm-hmm.
So the younger people that coming out and the industry's changing and they're exposed, and I'm not saying to put the people that was doing this for a long time behind the streamline,
right,
but be there to guide.
To guide.
And
to
sometimes you have to
mentorship.
Sometimes you have to learn to remove yourself. We got these same people that I grew up hearing, handling, staging, still doing staging, still wearing the same old drag or black, whatever they're doing. We don't up the game with nothing that we're offering.
Mm-hmm. And don't evolve. And as a result, nothing else could evolve.
And then sometimes people think that because you say this, you're looking to replace them.
Right.
But you should feel good that you have enough knowledge that you can pass on, go home and rest, and be somebody that you can come in then as a consultant and say, well, look, I think that you can do this in this area and this in this area. But let people get the room to grow.
Yeah. New people could bring in new things.
New fresh ideas.
And nobody's pushing you out or pushing you. Just move into a different arena, higher up. So you can say, okay, this is what I recommend.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you should do. This is where you should go. This is who you should look at. I recommend this body to work.
Correct.
With.
Don't say, well, let me bring Luke as a good look to the younger population to make it look like, or we've added some heat table, but then Luke's ideas go on scene or on her.
Yeah,
then what's the whole purpose of it?
Exactly.
So all of these things are factors that play a role in where we are today, and we can't be further.
We could be much further. We should be much further.
Trinidad Carnival, it's Kadumun. And we got to push out one terminologies. We don't do Carnival.
Look,
we do Kadumun. We walk up. We don't whine.
Woman after my own heart. We don't whine.
We just walk up.
We don't in a Carnival. It's not Barbados Carnival. It's crop over.
Because we like to adapt other people's cultures, and we don't like to maintain our standard all ground. That's why we don't have nothing to go by to say is our own. We always adapting the policies of other people. I can't even go into town and find a nice, arranged Barbados shirt to say I can wear. But sure, I can find one in Trinidad. Sure, I can find one in Jamaica.
You absolutely can. Jamaica,
but then
it is
here now. Fashion sense is still in a mental block.
Mm-hmm.
We need gear that when people come here for crop over, we should be seeing people on our brand.
Yeah.
We should be seeing people in our shirts. They should feel proud to go and reassuring me. I got to start designing my own stuff. But all of these things play a part. People always looking
because you get some shirts. You can't find a shirt with, let's say, Barbados or a flag or a stylist version of your flag or Barbados something. Because
you might be fashionable peat hats. Everybody jumping on the road in a peat hat. A lot of factors that can play for
that's
us.
That's my mothers always talk about.
To tweak our growth.
So, Joyanne, tell me about your business and how you started and what is it that you do specifically?
Okay, we started because, as I said, I started with Russell Grant. I mean, he used to do Frazzle. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of faith and confidence in me because I'm a very detailed and meticulous person when it comes to things that I see in the eye and documentation and that kind of stuff. And he approached me to run the door for him. I was new to it, but I used to common sense prevail. Mm-hmm. So I got some of my friends that was close to me that I know that I can trust because you know when you're dealing with people money, everybody want the money.
Hey, everybody want the money.
Down to the last thing saying. Yep. And then because I don't mix, I was never a big person with friends. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have an issue with me like letting in people into his event or anything like that because you don't know who's who, you don't know who watching or whatever.
Listen, trust me.
So after that, he started recommending me to people because, of course, the money come back out straight. Nobody ain't had no disgruntles or anything. Yes, people would have been in their feelings because nobody don't like to hear, no, you got to pay or where's your comp or your name it on the list and everybody gained the feelings. But then after that, it spread word of mouth. And he got me on working for a lot of the different promoters. He got me to work for some people from overseas and stuff. And then I got like jobs for the embassy and stuff, doing private stuff at their homes and stuff. So it evolved from there. And then after I had my daughter, we never had a name. So after I got my daughter in 2012, my best friend, Nat, she suggested, so we don't just name the business after Winter. So at first I was like, I don't want to go with Winter because there's Winter. So I was like, well, let me use Winter initials, which is where the WMBY comes in because her name is Winter Mercedes and she has a double barrel surname, which is Barker Yearwood. So that's how the letters were formed. Sometimes it gets your mouth muffled because they get the W and the M. But it's her initials. So that's how the name came into play. And then I just start branding my stuff, getting more people to come on board, vetting people and stuff, because you can't just come and work on my brand either.
Exactly.
So I vetted people. And then most of the people on my team, all of us have business professions, bankers, chefs. So I don't just have any of everybody. Everybody on my team has a value coming from a background. So that's how we were formed. And then you've seen us
at
literally
multiple events across the years.
Across the board,
Majority, most of the time at Crop Over, but you run throughout
the year. Yeah, we do stuff privately, but Crop Over is when the bulk of the work will come in because, as I say, everybody will attack Joyanne, but sometimes the promoter will say what Joyanne is, well, everybody's to pay, everybody's to. And I always tell people, if a promoter wants you in their event, they will connect with you before. Absolutely. If they didn't connect with you,
They don't want you. It's as
just
simple
come
as
to the
that.
Door. You got three options: a ticket, cash, or if your name on the list. If you know you ain't none in the tree, don't come and make an
don't
issue.
I've been
branded as the door boss or the door girl, the door grouch. I've heard it all, but it doesn't faze me because at the end of the day, I'm doing a job. I know that I give excellent work. Our integrity is intact and our work speaks for itself because we are at everybody's doors and stuff.
You manage the door because people, again, with so many things in Crop Over, people think, or not just Crop Over entertainment, people just think these things to be streamlined, like somebody.
And they just think that you just get her and come to the door, but I just don't do gate control. I do event logistics period. So I'm going to make sure that everything is, you still got to make sure the traffic flow is coming in right, the setup is right. I also work with bars, the cashiers, the reconciliation systems. I mean, I come in and help a promoter set up the entire venue. It's like DJ Ross. Ross don't do nothing unless Joyanne there. Because at the end of the day, he could shut his eye and disappear.
And
know that
you know what's
everything
to be a promoter deal with all
covered.
That nonsense.
A promoter should never be coming to deal with issues at their doors.
No, never.
You should always remove yourself from that. Because one, it allows you to see what you can improve on going forward, and you don't want the hassle or bustle of being the person to be there saying no and yes, and because you can feel obligated to let him loop.
Yeah.
Whereas Joyanne, I have no obligation to anybody.
And you name it on your list, you bark along. Call Listen, somebody, do what you gotta do, but...
My mother have come to things already. I had a ticket and she had to get a ticket. So let me just say that. Yeah. And that's my mother. So,
simple, so...
Yeah.
No, that's what... As
but
you
we,
say,
and we enjoy doing it. We enjoy doing it. I was taken to Miami last year and the experience was real good. And then they've booked me to come back to Miami. Because they say, well, they saved money that they were paying out before. And the team was very welcoming and embraced the... what we brought from Barbados to Miami, because sometimes you may be thinking that you're doing something right all the time. Somebody come in with a fresh idea and bam, get better service.
Simple as that.
Simple.
Okay, so tell us where people can find you online.
Well, of recent, people can find us on IG at WMBY246. And it was recently done because I am not that technical. So I had to go ahead and create a page.
Yeah.
And then my contact number is 850-7797, but that's also on the page. So I'm accessible. You can link any promoter. You can link Bazardy.
Yeah.
I have my information up on his page also.
That's right. So that's I'm where easy people to can find you and book you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm easy to find.
That's good. Okay, we just want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us, Joyanne.
Thanks for having me. And this is a busy day.
Yes.
But I promise I would have been here. And you made all efforts to get here. And I feel good that we had a successful run.
Yeah, you had a good discussion. I want to bring you back because, like I said, you understand it because you was in the business already.
Yeah.
So you get it.
But we hope that they listen. And we hope that these podcasts allow them to... like bring something fresh to the table, like listen to the people that have the voices that being involved in the game and just try to action it. That's all we want. Really, action it.
That's all we want. Just all action. We want.
Welcome to Lurie's Up Podcast with Basil D Magazine.
Tonight we are here with It's a Vibe team and Dwele and Rico Chase.
Yep, good night.
Good night. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Lure It Up. First time on Lure It Up. And tonight we're here to talk about Vibeland, Tales of the Road. And we'll discuss the other events that they also have on their calendar. We had High Noon already. So we got Vibeland and then we got Scenes later on in December.
Correct.
But I want to touch on Vibeland and what it is that people could look forward to, what they can expect. What made you decide to go on this theme, Tales of the Road? What is it that just that we should get into?
So Vibeland is an imaginary place that we put together concepts and like different attractions to create a theme and just rope everything together and deliver it during crop over. So the whole concept behind Vibeland, the reason behind it is because we felt as entertainers in Barbados that it was time for us to step up and bring a new product to crop over, right?
True.
To start to change again and put events, especially local events, on a different platform and an international platform.
Yeah, so that's what we've decided then to go with the whole themed party.
Yeah.
Just because every year then it creates a different experience. We started off in 2019.
Correct.
With Chapter One, which was Welcome to Vibeland. That theme was just pretty much giving persons a, you know, just a taste, getting the feet wet on, you know, what that experience is going to be like. We had different cocktail experiences, just a situation and a place for you to just come and just be a big child again.
That's
you know, we had a little jumping tent, all kind of stuff. So it's just like, you know, just
stuff
come
that
and
you
just
don't normally see a different feel, you know, not just a regular fat. You want create, let's just say, an imaginary place.
Yeah, we just want people to just like immerse themselves in just like the experience of what's happening around them. 2020 then when we had, you know, the whole COVID thing.
Right. You still managed to pull off of
like the thing. Like we were allowed to come outside slightly.
Slightly.
And you know, we went then to Chapter Two, which was La Dolce Vida, which is The Sweet Life. And it was a kind of a Candyland theme kind of situation. And again, playground for adults. So people get the candies, the dress in the bright colors.
That's true.
And then they come out and they just pretty much, you know, bring whatever they perceive that theme to be. And they just, you know, they bring that to life.
Okay, that was up in St. John, right?
That was in St. John.
That plantation, I can't remember that name.
Were you there, Luke?
I was there. Okay, I was there.
I didn't see Luke.
I was just going to say, like, I'm wondering if you ain't going to cuss out here. No, but...
I was there. There's even a picture of me. You send it to me.
Oh, yes. Photographic proof.
Yeah, there we go. See? Yeah, so it was, I went there. I remember, you had a car out front too?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, I was there.
So if you remember, from the time you entered Vibeland in St. John, you will realize that it's just a full candy theme. From the entrance, right down to the decor on the stage, the truss,
everything executed represented the theme. Mm. So every year when we do a theme, just know that the location is we were transforming the location to represent the theme.
Ah.
Yeah. So another fun fact too is that if you look at the flyers and if you look at our promo material, you will realize that it represents a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
okay.
The first one was chapter one, mm-hmm. second one was chapter two, and now we have chapter three, mm-hmm. Tales of the Road. Mm-hmm. The reason behind Tales of the Road is because earlier this year, it was looking like we were not going to have...
Very much so like that.
Yeah.
Kaduma Gym, right? So what we decided to do is to incorporate the road into a garden. Mm-hmm. So mesh it to bring the Vibrant experience alive.
So it's just pretty much, again, fantasy. Mm-hmm. We were put down for such a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, we miss Kaduma 2020 and 2021. Mm. And like you said, 2022, like it was shaping up to be the same.
Yeah, like shaking,
so
yeah.
Then, you know, once we got the green light to say, well, yeah, there's actually going to be some form of a crop over this year. Mm. We just decided to say, you know what? People ain't had a road experience in a while.
True.
And what would be really cool is if we could bring that road experience, literally just like pull it from the road and put it into a venue.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot.
So pretty much what people could look forward to is just seeing, think about all elements that you could possibly think about when you think about Kaduma Day, Carnival Day, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're putting on your costumes. Some people might want to dress up as characters. So you might come out in your funky wigs.
Okay, yeah. You might
be drinking rum out of a kettle or somebody pop, something,
yeah.
You know.
Come on, I had a top CAR at Kaduma. So,
you see,
yeah.
You see me?
That's true. So you're very right. I might have a toilet too. So exactly. Don't black rock. So, yeah.
Exactly. So that's pretty much what we want to encourage and we want to portray. So it's like the ladies could get creative with their beads, you know, put all the beads all over the face, all the different gems.
Yeah.
And the headpieces that they might have from, you know, 2 or 3 years
ago.
Yeah, so we just pretty much want everybody to just come and just be fully part of it.
I like that. I like that concept. So it's like kind of like Kaduma, but you want the road experience, but you know, not
one spot,
right there. Okay, yeah. I like that. Actually, that sounds really good. As you say, you know, ain't getting to go on the road, then you could get that road feel.
Exactly, and then that was another situation. Then you was hearing some person say, "Well, you know, I ain't too sure if it want to jump this year and blah blah blah." But this is perfect.
Yeah, this is perfect, really and truly.
Because you don't have to necessarily then go and put yourself on the road, and that could be for a number of reasons. It could be you not feeling the road,
right?
Finances might not be there.
Exactly.
You understand?
So focus on fetting. You might left early.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
So now you have, you know, that package for much less.
Yeah, that's really chat. I think that's brilliant.
Create a costume and come. Yeah, man.
You never got no Sam Rose no more, but going somewhere and get some feathers.
Yeah, he's still got Google Laurie Dash and stuff.
Laurie Dash. Yeah. There we go.
Get some different stuff. Man. I got creative.
And this is July 31st, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the Sunday before Kaduma Day.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Okay, that's good. Yeah, so you can get a road experience, or even if it is that you, let's say you are on the road, mm-hmm. you get in 2 days, then you could get on there.
There you go.
You get your Sunday.
Like
exactly,
you know,
a pre-pump. Exactly.
Practice.
Shit, you feathers, you feel sad, you know, you could transform now into your other costume for Kuduman.
Yeah. I plan to count beer back. We're in a shirt.
Exactly. So
you know, shorts. What they call it now? The Hoochie Daddy shirt.
Hoochie Daddy shirts, exactly.
Hoochie Daddy shirts, a pair of sneakers, man, a bandana, they always say.
That's all you need. What more you want?
Right,
exactly.
So just come out the vibe, you know?
Yeah, man.
That's perfect. That's good. I like that concept. Mm-hmm. And I want to touch also too on scenes, like what y'all got idea, what y'all doing for scenes later on down this year.
Mm-hmm. We have some concepts that we're currently toying with, but you know, the focus right now is Vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
But scenes is going to be crazy.
You're really going to, y'all have that?
As it usually is.
Could y'all have that in 2020 again too, right?
Yeah, had that in 2020.
Yes.
Just before we get put up.
Yeah, and it was really good. Okay, so people can look forward to that too as well. Correct. Well, you know, obviously it's too early for location. Actually, wait, where's the location for Vibeland? Mm-hmm. Okay, so
let's just say it's in the St. Michael.
Okay.
Yeah. St. Michael area. It's quite central.
That's good. That's a good central location. Yeah, you can have that.
It's a beautiful garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be transforming it.
Okay, I like that. A little song of that. Because y'all transformed the other gardens really nicely. St. John, and then it was down the road here across St. Pine, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
But this one, boy, y'all not ready for this one.
This one, we really pushing it. We really...
Is it a new location? Like, because the one that y'all did for the chapter one was a brand new location. Nobody did
this
before.
This one, it's not new, but it hasn't been used in a while.
Okay. All right. Okay. I like that. I like the sound of that. Mm-hmm. And what DJs do y'all have on the cars?
I think Vibe Nation is gonna be there.
I think it should be there.
Well, I mean, yeah. That's the only person that we could be there.
That y'all release for now.
Yeah,
okay, release for cool. now.
But yeah, Vibe Nation will be there fully fed. Okay, I don't know if y'all know those boys. You know,
yeah, I know. I think
that's the other coaches. You know them fellas.
Yeah. I think my know them.
Bad fellas.
And bad people. You know, too bad. But
they do all right for themselves.
They get through pretty good. So yeah, I that's interesting. So what else should people look forward to? I like the whole costume aspect of it, you know. And so you've been getting good feedback to this event though.
This feedback for Vibern has been the best so far.
Mm-hmm.
True.
The amount of traction right now is crazy.
Yeah, because I think y'all really teased it out and people don't know what it is. So it's like, what is it? What are they
and
doing?
And that's the thing, is like people just see you in like events, no, they see me like other events and they're like, wait, I'm listening though. Vibe Nation coming up, so talk to me. What's your team? What is y'all really looking to do? It's like, and then they explain it. Yeah. What a put on.
Put on right, game beat.
And then we explain it. Then people are like, yo. All right, yeah. That's dope.
That's good. For sure.
That's very, very good. So y'all bring back the same drink specials. Like everything will be in tune with the theme, the same way that you did with previous iterations. Specials,
different little, you know, surprises,
giveaways,
prizes, that sort
of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
Definitely.
That's good. It can got a big truck in it too, and
I don't know, bro. You know what I mean? I can't confirm or deny.
That's no problem. So let's talk also too about you sponsors that y'all have on board for the event.
So basically, so far in terms of sponsors, confirmed right now, we have Johnny Walker, Smirnoff, Syrah.
My favorite beverage in the world,
Casamigos.
I got tequila on board. Casamigos?
Bro, that's my drink, dude.
Yeah. Yep.
That's kind of, yeah.
You never say in the morning. That's
what that's, I, that's exactly how I want to leave it.
We have more coming, but
No. Big up Johnny Walker, Ciroc, Smirnoff. They're other people. LA Hampshire, exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, you will have some form of rum because, again, You can't have Kaduma without rum. You know? True. Rum is everything.
Rum is everything. So
I
look forward to that too as well. You know, as you say, more will come on stream.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's good. I like that. I really like that. So, and you always do, normally y'all don't do Vibe Land so late though.
Last year, 2020. Yes.
Yeah, we moved it.
2020. We moved it.
Right. Yeah. Because
the very first one was a little earlier.
Was earlier, right? Yeah. That's what I remember. Chapter one was early.
The goal was always to move it into the weekend because we wanted it to be for the culture, you know, a product for Cropover that people can travel from overseas all around the world and come experience Vibe Land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's good. I like that.
And speaking of which, this year we actually do have a lot of international interest in the brand now as well. So, you know, when the beers come out, you will definitely see a lot of foreigners up in there.
I'm glad then
cultures and they're mixing up
as early that people could know, or I could wear a piece of costume, I could travel with a wig, I could design different.
Like, just get crazy with
it. Exactly.
Get crazy with it. If you want, come dress up like a Shaggy Bear. Come on, man. Who cares?
Who cares, exactly?
Whether you interpret the road to be however you want to express yourself on the road, that's where you're coming to Vibe Land.
Perfect. And let people know where they can find you on social media.
On social media, Instagram, @ It's a Vibe BIM. That's ITSAHVIBEBIM.
They can find all the information where they could grab their tickets.
All the information.
And everything.
You can even go to www.itsavibe.com.
On our website.
You got it.
From the time that I saw the calendar, I was like, these boys serious, you know, they're rolling out, they're saying these are different experiences and it's not the same fact that's just being replicated across the year, but each one has its own
identity, everything.
Yeah, and even from how we launch the events, we have like movies and that sort of stuff, trailers for the events, after movies and all sorts of stuff, just promoting the product itself and the theme. So part of the Vibe brand, one thing that we want to tap into is production, you know, producing music, offering soca music into Cropover, because it's all for the culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main push behind Vibe brand, behind the Vibe brand.
Mm-hmm.
Barbados and the culture, the entertainment package that we have to offer.
I like that.
So we're just building it piece by piece, taking our time, and it's looking really good. It's coming together.
Coming together well.
Yeah.
And this all started over a beverage.
Really?
Funny enough.
or for a beverage.
So let me know how y'all got started with It's a Vibe on a whole.
Well, It's a Vibe started basically, it would have come together from us being DJs, actually. Mm-hmm. And going out and delivering our product to the entertainers, promoters, and then on to the people. And the amount of following that we received, the amount of traction, the amount of love and support that we were getting, you know, it was only a matter of time to be branch off into our doing our own events.
Yeah, we started off with the catamaran cruise on board Jammy when Jammy was a thing. Jammy, they miss you. But we started out there, maybe about 60 something people.
60? Well, I don't think it was 90 people, but we only sold like 30 something tickets.
Yeah.
Huh? We just did it because we love party. Uh-huh. Right? And then from there, the brand grew from selling 30 tickets to the next year when the Dream Chaser came.
Oh, yes.
We had over 270 people.
Oh, wow. That brand then was Overboard. Because we started as cruise. You know, which most brands, people start off, you know, people want to start off with a cruise. So we started off with the Overboard, the cruise. And then it just, you know, morphed into.
Yeah. And then during that period, too, we realized that everyone was doing cruises. But then land events were on a decline. So then we branched off.
Oh,
yeah. So it was like what we could do now to kind of like stand out since everybody doing cruises now, and we just decided to take it to the land. And
then from there,
it was full throttle ahead. Yeah.
Okay. All the way up.
Well, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you, Luke.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
He like crossed that really. He tells himself, "Yo, get some thanks."
Goddamn right. Yeah, thanks for us coming through, guys. We had a good chat.
Yeah, man.
You know, we got a real feel for the brand, a real feel for both of you, like who are the personalities behind the brand, and what is it that people can expect. Mm-hmm. Got a little about how you started and how you got where you are now.
Yeah, and it means a lot for you to actually reach out and actually notice us. That's like a step for us.
Yeah, I feel like a celebrity now. Yeah. I feel like a reach. You know what I mean? I appreciate that.
I hear rubbing my temples. These things that I want to say, right?
I got a face thing, mother.
I can get in trouble if I see response to y'all. I'm just going to say thank you very much. Yeah, you know, I appreciate you took time out your busy schedules to come and give the studio a visit and have a chat.
We look forward to seeing you and everybody else on July 31st. First,
absolutely.
By Blondie, the third chapter, Tales of the Road.
So tonight we're here with Tion.
Hey. Good night.
So we're here to talk all about your musical journey, your journey as an artist, how it was producing Slow Wine, and all your plans for the future, which you have a lot of.
Slow Wine came about via Shanna, really, Polly Triggerbone.
Yeah.
I've known Shanna for quite a long time, but we kind of disconnected throughout the years because we knew each other through Back in Our Time Tent when I was about 10 years old performing with Peter Ram. Yeah. So then at like 15, when I stopped doing soca, Shanna was managing me. We were just doing little school performances, you know, young people stuff. So then a couple years ago, we just reconnected. We just had a conversation and I told her, you know, I would really like to get back into music, whether it be behind the scenes, just writing music, or just being in the space, you know, to connect with other creatives and stuff like that. So Shanna messaged me like January 1st this year, and she's like, "So what are we doing this year?" And I say, "Well, you know, I'm currently pregnant, so I don't think that I would want to be at the forefront, but I would definitely be willing to help, whether it be performance, helping with performances, helping with songwriting, being in the production." And then Shanna was like, "Yeah, cool. Everything cool." Message me about 3 months ago. And she's like, "Listen to this song here." And I listen to the song and Shanna's like, "Yeah, so you willing to sing it?" Like, man, why not?
Why not?
So then that is just really how it happened. I didn't put too much thought into it. I didn't really get to overthinking or saying I'm pregnant, I disabled.
Yeah, can't do this. Yeah. Right, yeah.
So we went into the studio with Barry from Dreadheart Productions, and that was such a simple, easy process. We laid down the vocals within about an hour, and then it was just, you know, waiting for the song to drop. So I just went through a period of saying, "All right, so I record this song," and I had no plans on being out this year, but now I need to get it together.
Right. Yeah.
So marketing and, you know, what you're going to wear. And pregnant, my clothes going to fit.
Exactly, the full works, the full production.
So I just went into overdrive.
Yeah,
okay. So that's really how that happened.
That's quite impressive. And that you still decided to forge ahead with it. You're like, you know, I'm pregnant, but don't worry about that. It's going to be a soaker baby.
Correct.
Crop over baby coming out.
And he's really scheduled to born on August 1st, which is crazy because that's
Kaduma
Day.
Wow.
But really and truly, though, I'm hoping for any day now.
Yeah, right? When I saw your series last night, I was like, this girl's ready to pop. She is ready.
Yeah, listen, I was just at the side of the stage waiting for
I was on the other end so I could look across and see her. There's a little tea on there.
I am like, oh my gosh, how long is this going to take?
Right.
And we did not know the running order. So I feel like it was just like pulling names.
Just there watching us. All right, Tion, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just an awesome experience, to be honest. And I really love doing it.
Yeah, you see it. You saw the energy it came during the performance. It's like, she's confident, she's assured, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite thing to do is to perform. Well, the funny thing is, before a performance, I am always so nervous that I keep asking myself, why you do this say to yourself?
Right, like, exactly. Yeah.
Why you would ever do this? Like yesterday, at about minutes to six, I had to take a bathroom break.
Yeah.
So then the nerves start kicking in. And then at like 7 o'clock, I'm like, how am I going to do this with this stomach? I never do this before. Am I going to be able to have the energy? Mm. And I just started to get really anxious. And I think that was the first time that I performed with such a big crowd.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, crowd. In a long time. So I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Even just talking about it, no.
Right?
Yeah, so that meant a lot to me, to be honest.
I liked that you did it. You had bravery to do it, as you said, because... Getting up on stage in front of all them people, everybody's staring at you, phones out,
correct,
you know, it's like.
Correct. And obviously,
so
there's the judgment too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I hear so many whispers, well, this pregnant woman in the party, she about to birth. And even the tweets.
Yeah. There were tweets too?
Yeah, somebody tweeted, this pregnant lady better don't give birth in so tears of mine. And I was just like, you know what? I wouldn't even mind because it's eviction time.
Exactly. Time to go, you know? No, I like that. I like that you still came out. You still gave it your all, gave a good performance, everything
Thank you.
It went really, really well.
Thanks.
So I hope that you still continue after you've given birth, you know? And like you said, you're a songwriter too as well.
Yeah. I was doing R&B for a couple of years and I am a really sad songwriter, to be honest with you. So writing soca does not come to me naturally. I did, however, write a social commentary song for my niece to do, Junior Monarch, a couple of years ago, but obviously COVID.
Yeah.
So I would need somebody else to sing that song, but that, in my opinion, as the writer, I think it's a really good song. And her dad is also into music. Her father was a drummer in a band called Electric. I don't know if you remember that from years ago.
Yeah, years back.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, let me get you in the studio, let me do this song.
Electric Keisha Christian?
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he was the band leader. So he was also instrumental in getting me into music and connecting me with Peter Ram at 10 years old. So I just sent him the song. And I was like, I think that my niece, you know, she likes to sing too.
Yeah,
but now she get older and she ain't interested.
She interested.
So I need a singer for this song. And Shanna also, I think, has seen my potential in that area.
Yeah.
So I've also helped her with, like, you know, if she was stumbling on something or she needed help in an area, then she would send it to me and I would say, all right, well, I think, you know, you could change this melody or we could do this, we could do that. So Shanna has also been helping me with my songwriting journey with soca. So I'm really appreciative of her and just pushing me to do what she knows that I love.
Yeah, she get like pull you from R&B into soca.
Correct.
Remember when you had your blue hair thing? Yeah. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Sometimes I look back at that and then like, I got a couple screws missing.
I like that. I was like, the whole blue hair phase. I liked it. You know, the signature look, all that type of stuff. So it's good to see artists evolve and then still keep at the craft.
Yeah.
And then evolve along with the craft, as you say. You do R&B, you come back to soca, and then it's like the whole field is wide open. Because as we were talking about, say, the studio earlier, Robbie, it was like not many people could transition between different genres, even within soca genres.
Yeah, soca is my home, man.
Yeah, that's
the truth.
That's right.
What I would say is that I did not have a soca voice, I think. Soca singers to me are very strong and the voice comes over quite powerful and big. And my voice is kind of thin. And so it has to be trained to cut through, right?
Yeah.
So I had to do a lot of vocal training and I even spent some time in the background with Marlon Legal. He runs the Courage and Parry band.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in his group called Elite Vox. And I really had to humble myself and just learn the basics and come back up. So I've done a lot of vocal training to be able to sing. And even listening to myself last night, I'm like, all right, because I'm so critical of myself. I'm like, all right, so you need to fix this and you need to, you know, I mean, my mother is like, you need to buy a mic and you need to buy an earpiece. And so my whole family is really into this creativity and it is really encouraging to have people supporting me, you know. And so I am looking forward to improving and seeing where I could do better in terms of performances and, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, the whole, no, it's good to see, you know, you get engaged in it.
Yeah.
To see how you evolve as you say, it's good that you have the support because your most fans will be, oh, you ain't spending time with that.
Yeah.
That's bare money you're looking out. You want to buy earpiece and mic.
When I was 10 years old and I told my mother, I was a really quiet child, right? Like I would have my personality with my friends, but as a child, I was just quite reserved. And a lot of my mother clients, because she was a hairdresser, right? So a lot of my mother clients would be like, she don't talk. You know? So when I go to my mom and I'm like, well, mommy, I want to sing. And she endorses that.
Yeah.
And not knowing whether or not I'm going to actually get on the stage and perform, it's like my mother really has to, you know, believe me and love me.
Yep.
So the first, even performing with Peter Ram for the first time, and he never even met me, is just the, the belief that these people had in me, not knowing whether I would deliver, is crazy. And the truth is that I myself probably didn't even know that
I could do it. You didn't conceptualize. It's like, I'm just going to roll and do it.
At 10 years old, I ran across the pasture in St. George to go on a stage and sing with Peter Ram here. And I think it was at that moment when my mother saw the energy that I had on the stage that she said, yeah, boy.
We're going
down the road. That is all I've known my whole life. So then I have to ask myself, who am I if I'm not singing?
Yeah.
Like, so even these past couple of years that I have not been doing it, it's like trying to find, you know, so what do I do in the interim? Like, do I not do this anymore?
Right.
Yeah. So I had to find myself, you know, back where I know that it feels like home.
Yeah. I like that. I love that. I love the fact you also too went through training. You went back.
Mm-hmm.
You started back from ground zero and went to the Masters at Marley Ball and came back up and built back up. Listen to yourself and you know, okay, this time in, you know, you get the earpiece, you need the mic, all that.
Yeah, man.
I love that because people just think you could just jump into.
Correct. Listen, I have had my heartbreaks where music is concerned. I mean, the first time that I auditioned for Honey Jam, I crashed and burned and I did not get in. And I think at that time then people were like, well, this girl can't sing.
Mm.
And the truth is that I probably could not keep a key.
Yeah.
I probably could not keep honest, a key for a long time. And so it was like, but if I want to be a singer, I need to be able to sing.
Yeah.
And when I hear other people, I like, oh, this person's song.
Right.
So then I sing, I'm listening to these riffs and I, you know, and I playing them back and back and they say, yeah, I want a song like this.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, you can't just get her and start to sing and tell yourself you're a singer.
People think you could just do that. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry. So, yeah. So I really, even at this point now, and I have improved tremendously, I still see the points where I'm like, all right, so I don't need to hold that song.
Right. Like,
yeah. So it's a constant improvement process.
I like that. As you say, you know, you go through it, like you're willing to work through it.
Yeah.
People, then you just walk off the street and start singing. That's it. Whatever level you are, it's the level that you always be at. And it's good and you good to go.
So it's always a battle of me against me.
Yeah.
And being better than I was before.
Exactly. And constantly evolving.
Yeah. And know that I am here. I won't be here to stay. And I want to make an impact too. I don't just want to come and sing. I want to be big.
Yeah.
I mean, because if I can do it, I can do it big. And that's all that I know. As you say with the blue hair, I am extra. And my mother is even more extra. And it got to be massive.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Cool. You keep leaning into that because that's really the energy. And then there are not many women in the soca arena.
Correct. And you know what? The reason why I did not even consider being back in soca for a while is because I didn't feel like there were any songs that were actually pushing women forward. So we were really in the background for a long time and males were dominating the space. So it's like, I need to find a songwriter,
you know?
And I was not hearing enough songs from women that made me feel like this body could write this song.
Yeah.
So, but Shanna has been doing it.
Shanna
has been doing it.
She's been like hit after hit after hit.
I'm like, yo, Shanna Penn hard.
Yeah, she good.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
She real good. So I'm glad you paired up with her. Yeah, very, very talented. Mm-hmm. And she also seen it. She just keep going up and out. Correct. So she produced many hits this season. It's like, all right, this is good to hear.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you team forces. And that she, you know,
and our energies mesh really well too. Yeah. So I mean, it was like it was just a connection made in heaven, man.
that's I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. So I really do, you know, believe that you should continue in it, because as another young female coming up in the genre, that you could be able to and to watch you grow and blossom and really showcase your talent and creativity. Because it's not just that you. A song coming, you're like, yeah, I can sing that.
Right.
You know, you actually have a connection with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to be particular with the songs that I choose because of the type of voice that I have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time, but it's worth it.
I think it's worth it too. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of effort too, because we talked about that on other podcast episodes, like how much investment you all give
as an artist.
Yeah.
Don't tell me about how many times my mother told me how much money she spent on outfits.
Yep. Things that people don't consider outfits, makeup. As you said,
like when
you
the production, the music.
The studio time.
Advertising.
All the marketing budget. Yeah.
It is a lot of money.
A lot. People
so
don't.
You really have to love it, to be honest.
It's really and truly, you really got to be in
because
it.
Because there's, I mean, you don't really see that much returns like when you first start there. Yeah. You even have to offer to perform for free.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go and message the DJs. You got, because nobody's coming to you.
No.
Because who are you?
Exactly.
And that's the truth. So I sit on my phone every day trying to figure out, all right, so what next to do here? Because they need to push this here forward.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's a real hard, thankless job because people think, you just become an artist and it's just money, it's just flowing and performances and you're going to be good to go. But they don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
It's true. And also, I mean, even just the pressure of wondering if people will love your music.
Yeah.
And the critics and, you know, the people that put in bugs in your ear.
Yeah.
So you really got to be strong, man.
Yes, it is a lot. A lot. And, you know, as people promising you something or telling you come and perform here and then they don't turn out or it don't pan out.
Yeah, or it's just like, you know, well, we know but you don't know you or you're not big enough right now. So we can't really make space for you, you know? So you gotta make space for yourself.
Really and truly. So it's glad that you went on stage last night and had, you know, you really give a presence, really give a showcase yourself.
Listen, right now the video that I posted of the performance is being sent around and it's at 382 DMs right now. More likes than the video actually has. But I'm like, all right, send it to everybody. Send it to everybody. Let everybody learn the song.
No problem. Exactly. Get into it, you know? You make me know I'll go back and check this out. Some positive.
Listen, Luke, and then I was like, Luke, thing tag me. I know you ain't know my acne.
Right, yeah. Right? I was like,
say cheese, I'm ready.
Because we were just like churning it out, you know?
So, but I have to say that your energy is amazing too, Luke.
Really?
Honestly. I observe you and I really, really like your energy, man. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah, it's good. I'm just glad to be able to speak to a young artist. To hear what it is that they have to go through to understand by the process and help people understand what it is for y'all, what y'all go through or your experience. But the whole process is like, especially season, and then you gotta think about outer season and then next season, all that
what
type
it,
of stuff.
What it takes to actually, you know, everything that it takes to build it yourself, to put yourself in people's presence, to put yourself out there to be judged, for people to decide whether or not this song is a hit or, you know, we want to pass this. So
it's
been a trial and error.
Yeah, really and true. And then, like, having to go through, like, you do all the studio time and you get mixed and mastered and properly done. And it's like you putting it out there and then you could see songs that are absolute garbage just going up in the air. And people, oh my God, I want to hear this on time.
Hurt your heart, man.
Yeah. So much effort into writing this song, producing, getting this done. And it's just, Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's not just stays there. Sometimes, you know what, I think that artists themselves don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to have a team of people around
that
you.
That is true.
Because being a creative, I know that it is easy to just be stuck in, this is my song, this is my baby, mm-hmm. and I want people to like it.
Yeah.
But not knowing how to promote it, how to get it in people's face. So you are treating yourself like a business.
Yes.
So
that's right.
So it is sales. I call you and I could call you 10 times for you to answer.
Yeah.
And I worked in sales. So I think, you know what, staying away from music and doing my job and doing marketing, because I work for a Canadian marketing company, mm-hmm. influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. So everything that I have done outside of music has also helped me to be able to work in other facets for my own self,
yeah.
right? So I think that that is also what's helping me in promoting the song. But really and truly, it takes a village.
Yeah, it really does take a village. Yeah, a whole team. Cause you can't do it on your own.
Yep.
You see, you got to call somebody, you got buddy interviews, you got to talk to this body, you got to push and get yourself out there.
The artists need to educate themselves too. On distribution of music, mm-hmm. uploading to streaming platforms, mm-hmm. you know, investing, because not only investing in the production, but investing in promoting it. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the list goes
on and on.
Yeah, but art creators are sensitive people.
Yes.
So rejection, you know, it's sick.
It's
daunting.
Yeah, it will really hurt, you know, it really sting mm-hmm. your feelings. As you said, the same thing, but when you got a song, you feel like this is your baby.
Yeah.
And you putting it out there to the world and people basically knocking out your hands. Say, I want that.
Correct.
I want something else, man. I want something fast, you know, I want something bashy. Or...
I think the idea is to disconnect you, the person, mm-hmm. from the song.
True. Yes.
So because this person does not like this song, does not mean that you are a bad person,
exactly.
or you are a bad singer. You know, they don't like you, the human.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so I had to do that as well. Cause, you know,
I would think for your sanity, otherwise it'd be like, you know, any kind of foolish comment.
Just crumble in the ball and roll up. Die.
Yeah, it's hard, I just want people to understand how much hard work it is to operate in this artistic world. Especially in Kropova, where everything is super intense and fast-paced because it's only a short space of time.
Yeah.
And especially as a young woman now, trying to navigate that space to, and it's like, you know, it can be even harder because male-dominated space.
Correct.
Like, you know how people listen.
She can't right now for me now with this
time. Exactly. Exactly. Even more now.
Yeah. So
I'm very glad that you still pushed through and you still came through and you still get yourself out there and put yourself out there and push yourself forward.
Thank you. I am proud of myself.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah, man.
That's brilliant stuff. So thank you very much, Dion, for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Can you let us know your handle so people can know where to find you and your music online?
Sure, and so that you can tag me in the next performance.
That's right.
My IG is Bohemian T, and that's T-I-I, or you can just type in Tion Hernandez on Instagram, on TikTok, on Twitter, and I'm going to come up, Bohemian T. That's me.
Tion, T-I-O-N-N-E.
Yeah.
There we go. That's perfect. I got it. Good stuff. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Luke. Basody.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. This episode was recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions.